We've been preaching a series called The Devil's Five-Step Plan to Destroy You and Your Family. We're on step five today. This is how it ends. And as we're talking about that last step of annihilation, the ultimate destruction of your life, that's what the devil has planned. That's what he really wants. I'll show you that verse again here in just a moment. But as we consider that and as we look at that being the final stop along this journey, realize that anywhere along this path, if you will turn to Jesus, He will have you, and He wants you, and He's waiting, and He's ready for you to come to Him. This has been quite a journey, and it's been 2 weeks since I've been able to preach, and so just a quick review, just reminding you what the first four steps are. Step one was attraction. The spirits of Antichrist use attractive devices to get you to allow their voices to begin influencing your heart. You might know this as temptation. Temptation is so much more than us just being tempted to do wrong once and then it's done. Temptation is a temptation. It's an attraction to a hook that's going to be put into your heart that will allow Satan to pull you around and guide you to do things that you don't want to do. Attraction. We read about the spirits of Antichrist. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. We're talking about a spiritual battle. We're talking about something beyond just what you can see. There is a spiritual battle. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that'd be people, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil has a plan to destroy your life. And as we get into this morning, you need to realize he doesn't just want to destroy you, but he wants to destroy as many people as he can at the same time. Tonight, I'm going to be going into some more details about what some of these voices are and what some of the attractions are that the devil will use to get us to sin and to get us to allow his influence into our lives. This morning, I just want to continue on the process. I want you to realize how it happens. So step one is attraction. He tempts us. Step two is adaptation. Over time, you will become comfortable with the satanic influences in your life. Now, I'm not just talking about devil worship here. I'm not just talking about someone who gets the upside-down cross or does the 666 and says, I'm a devil worshiper. I'm talking about the subtle ways that the devil will influence you. Rebellion would be one of them. The music of our culture, the music of our day is so full of rebellion. And the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. We'll tie those together a little bit later. But when you open, when you close your heart to God, when you close your heart to authority, you open your heart to evil influences. We'll give you more details about that later. But step one is attraction. Step two is adaptation. Step three is addiction. After you're attracted and after you begin to adapt to the sin, it becomes more normal, eventually you will get addicted to it. Now, we're not just talking about alcohol and drugs and those regular things that we know addict people. We're talking about something more serious than a physical addiction. We're talking about a heart-level addiction. So we've talked about music, and we'll mention video games, and pornography would be in on this category. But the things that we allow into our heart that put hooks into our heart, where the devil is allowed to build a stronghold into our heart and begin to destroy us from the inside out. The devil's plan is to get you to listen to the voices of the spirits of Antichrist so they can fasten their hooks in your heart and then lead you from inside your heart. Heart-level addiction is more powerful than physical addiction. You've heard how powerful physical addictions can be. An addiction to drugs or an addiction to alcohol. Some of you have struggled with that. You've beat that, in fact. But an addiction of the heart is so much more powerful. An addiction of the heart is where the evil influences of Satan, and the Bible calls them devils. We call them demons sometimes. In this spiritual warfare that we're fighting, addiction is when they begin to put their hooks into our heart and begin to guide us from within us. Attraction is when you're tempted from something outside of you. Addiction is now when you're tempted to do something wrong and it's coming from inside of you because the stronghold of Satan has been built there. Step four was attraction. Step one's attraction. Step two is adaptation. Step three is addiction. Step four was alteration. That's where you begin to change. You don't notice it at first because it begins in your heart. Your heart will begin to change without you even realizing it. Eventually, you'll seem like a completely different person on the inside and on the outside, but this takes time. You probably know someone who used to be fun, used to be friendly, used to be sweet, used to be enjoyable to be around. They used to come to church. They used to like to be around authority, but something changed, and you don't know what it was, but over time, they've become a different person. That's alteration. Alteration is when your thoughts change, your emotions change, your desires change, and you won't be able to find a physical reason or an explanation for the changes, and you'll live in a state of confusion because you just don't know what's going on. Somebody will ask you, why do you hate your mom and dad? Why do you hate your husband or your wife? Why are these problems? And your answer will be, I don't know. I just don't know. The reason is because you've allowed the influences, the spirits of this world, as we read about, the Bible talks about them, the spirit of Antichrist and the voices that they speak to us. Let me read that again because I want you to hear it. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and every spirit, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world. I'm reading 1 John chapter 4, verse 5. Now they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. You don't know what's going on. You don't know why there's a change, but there is a change. And the answer is because you've been allowing the spirits of the world to speak to your heart. Maybe it was through the music that you've been listening to. Maybe it's through the video games that you've been playing. Maybe it's through the things that you've been looking at or the websites that you've been going to. Maybe it's through the rebellious relationships that you have. But you've been allowing the influences into your heart, and over time they change you. Somebody may ask you, why are you angry? Why are you not that happy person that you used to be? What changed? And the best answer you can give is just this: I don't know. Confusion. A countenance that has fallen. Step five comes from our scripture verse today that we read together. It's James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I'm going to read that last verse to you again, because this is the last step and this is annihilation. This is ultimate destruction of your life, maybe physically, maybe spiritually, but the devil wants to destroy you. Then when lust, that's attraction, hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, that is the alteration, that's the change, and when sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the process. That is the process that the devil is going to use to destroy you. Do you have that illustration ready? I want to show you a picture. And I want you to see two really cool insects, all right? One is cool because it can survive a nuclear holocaust. That would be the roach. The other one is called an, I don't know if that's true or not, I haven't tested that. The other one's an emerald wasp. And what you see here is the emerald wasp holding on to the roach by its antenna and guiding it where it wants it to go. So you've got these two insects. You've got to decide which one you like better. I don't like roaches. So I'd probably would favor the wasp. And it's pretty, right? It's blue and got red on it. This is called the emerald wasp. And I want to read to you how this emerald wasp influences this roach. It's an amazing story. We would call this the zombie roach. Then I want you to realize that this is a picture of us when we allow the devil to continue this process. All right? We are not the wasp, I'll tell you that much. All right. So let me just read this to you. The emerald wasp manipulates the cockroach's behavior, essentially transforming it into a zombie slave. With two stings, the cockroach is left with the ability to walk, but is entirely robbed of the power to initiate its own movement. The wasp then latches on to the stung cockroach's antenna, and the submissive insect follows the wasp's orders. I'll give you some more details here in just a moment, but I want you to see what's going on here. The wasp stung the cockroach two different times, in two different ways, and we'll talk about that. I love this stuff. Don't you love science? I love science. All right. So, and now, this wasp can get that cockroach to walk anywhere the wasp wants it to go. The wasp, the cockroach is able to walk, but it is not able to decide to walk. So it has to be pulled. And as it is pulled, it walks. Scientists have done experiments on these roaches. And they have found out that it is perfectly capable of walking. It could run if it wanted to, but it doesn't have the ability to make the decision to walk or to run. It's amazing. So listen to this. In the meantime, the wasp also lays an egg on the cockroach, which hatches after 3 or 4 days. The hatched larva chews its way into the cockroach's abdomen. Isn't this awesome? Where it proceeds to eat the internal organs, all right? The docile victim, the cockroach, stays alive for the next 4 days until the larva eventually form a cocoon inside it. This is gross. This is disgusting. But I want you to see what's happening. With time, the full-grown wasp emerges from the host's body and continues this vicious cycle. Through it all, the stupefied roach, although able to move, shows no desire to struggle, flee, or fight, even as it is being eaten alive from the inside. Now, I know we're just talking about a roach, but we're also talking about the devil's plan to destroy you. You're going to see some similarities here, okay? So let me show you what happens. The first sting is administered to a mass of nerve tissue in the cockroach's thorax. It contains large quantities of something called gamma-aminobutyric acid and complementary chemicals called taurine and beta-alanine. So gamma-aminobutyric acid is a neurotransmitter. It blocks the transmission of motor signals between the nerves, and together with the other two chemicals, it temporarily paralyzes the cockroach's front legs. This is a smart wasp. This prevents the cockroach from escaping while the wasp inflicts the second, more toxic sting directly to the roach's brain. If you're not, like, geeking out right now, this is awesome, right? Or maybe it's the wrong crowd. I'm geeking out over this. This is wow, okay? So, first of all, how does it know to do this? All right, well, God made it this way. It didn't evolve. It was created to know how to do this. All right, the second sting, let's see what it does here. It blocks the receptors for another neurotransmitter called octopamine, which is involved in the initiation of spontaneous and complex movements such as walking. It blocks the transmitters that allows the cockroach to think what it's going to do. If the wasp were to paralyze the cockroach, it probably wouldn't be able to carry it back to its lair. If it were to kill the cockroach, it would lose its source of fresh food. It has a complex and precise weapon to overcome both of these obstacles. Venom that only targets the specific neural circuits, which guarantee that its victim will walk obediently to its tomb and stay alive while it's being devoured. This is crazy stuff. It stings them in their brain, so the cockroach is obedient to whatever the wasp wants it to do. And it will walk obediently to where it will die, and while it's there, it is eaten alive from the inside. Okay, there's a little bit more. Hang in there with me just for a moment. All right. Actually, that was the end of it. I was getting all excited about it. The next thing it says, draw a parallel here. Okay, so here's where we are. We are the cockroach. I know you didn't want to come to church and hear that this morning. We're the cockroach. The devil is the wasp, and he's going to do anything he can to insert his influence into our mind, our heart. That influence is going to do several things. One of the things that influence is going to do, it's going to paralyze us so that we can't get away. And while we're paralyzed so we can't get away, he's going to begin to put hooks into our, if I can say it this way, into our heart. And those hooks that he puts into our heart are called addiction. And those addictions become a stronghold that the devil can work from on the inside. The Bible says to not be ignorant of Satan's devices. And the Bible says not to give place to the devil. So whenever we allow these influences into our heart, we go through this process of attraction and then adaptation and then we change the alteration. And then eventually The last step is destruction. But he doesn't want to destroy you right away. The wasp could have killed the roach just like that, but he doesn't. The devil wants to use us for a while. And he's going to use us to destroy ourselves and to destroy as many people around us as he possibly can. So the devil's five-step plan to destroy your family ends right here. Annihilation. It starts with an innocent-seeming attraction. It ends with annihilation. And the devil wants your destruction to affect as many people as possible, so the last step takes some time. I believe that our churches are full of people that are allowing these satanic influences into our lives, and we may not even know it. Why do I say that? Because our world is full of these voices that we talked about, the spirits of Antichrist, and our world is full of them with the music that's everywhere that you go. I'll be talking more about music tonight. I'd encourage you to come and find out the connection between music and the spirit world. I'll give you some insights into that tonight. The devil uses music, and he'll use video games, and he'll use rebellion, so many different things, and the influences, they invade us, and they begin to change us. His ultimate goal is to destroy us, though. And that's what this morning is about. First, there's a spiritual destruction. You know, somebody's not going to start listening to the wrong kind of music, and then the next day they're just dead because they listened to the wrong kind of music. That's not the way it works. Aren't you glad that's not the way it works? God has a God of mercy. See, there's a spiritual destruction. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." You don't feel it physically, but you experience it spiritually. This is the process. This is the way it works. Eventually, your thoughts change, your feelings change, your desires change, and those things begin to be destroyed. Kind of like the zombie, the roach zombie. I don't believe in the other kind of zombie, but the roach zombie. But you know, you've probably seen people like this. You probably know people like this. There are people, maybe even in your family, they're so tuned out to the rest of the world because of something. Maybe some music that they listen to. Maybe they're so focused on the games that they play, it seems like they're a zombie the rest of the time. We had in our neighborhood association this summer, they put up a sign that said, "Don't become a video game zombie this summer." The idea behind that was don't play them so long that your mind turns into mush. My mom always told me, your mind's going to turn into mush. And so don't become that kind of video game zombie where you get calluses on your thumbs from playing the video games and your mind goes into neutral. Well, you've seen people and you know people. Maybe drugs have caused it. Maybe alcohol has caused it. But they don't seem to have a purpose. They don't seem to have a direction. It's like they don't have a whole lot of desires. They don't have a lot of a drive to do anything with their life. It's the beginning of spiritual destruction. Once the enemy gains a stronghold through the voices of the spirits of Antichrist, anything is possible in your life. And I mean anything. I struggled with this last night as I was studying. Because I want you to know how serious this is, but I don't want to glorify all the sin that comes from it. If you've listened to the news stories just in our city, you know there are things going on, abuses and terrible, wicked things happening in our city and murders and all kinds of things like that, and that they're not normal. What causes these things to happen? When you allow the enemy influence in your heart and you allow him to change your heart, reprogram your heart, reinvent your any man, anything is possible. You might say, "There's no way I would ever do that. There's no way I would ever do that." Well, maybe you think so now. But anything that the devil is capable of doing, if you allow him to influence your heart, you become the zombie roach that gets pulled along to help him do what he wants to do. This is a very serious topic, and it's one that even as I preach it, many will say, "Oh, that's like fairy tale stuff." This is for real. The devil never shows up in a red suit and pointy horns and a pitchfork. He's always, the Bible calls him, he's an angel of light, and he's very deceptive in how he gets his job done that he's trying to do. There's a destruction of a spiritual purpose. You lose your desire to live for God. I've seen this so many times. I taught school for 5 years in junior high and high school, worked with the youth department. I've been the pastor here now for 13 years, so almost 20 years of that, and plus before that, working in a Bible college, working on bus routes, and working with teenagers. And I've seen young people who, at one time, they loved God, they wanted to do something for God, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. They lost their desire to serve God. They have a greater desire to feed their sinful habit than to do anything for God. And what happens sometimes along this path is you forfeit your opportunity to serve God in a greater way because you've allowed sin into your life. If you will just begin with the attraction, just listening, and I'll just be very clear here, I believe rock music is sinful, and I believe it is one of the voices that these spirits of Antichrist use to influence us. Just so you know where I stand. You start listening to the rock music, and it does begin to influence your heart. You can't understand what's going on, but a change happens. Eventually, destruction will come. You say, I don't believe you. You're just picking on rock music. Well, wait a minute. Go down the list of the rock music stars. Look how old they were when most of them died. Look at the list of rock music stars and celebrities that died before they were 40 years old. And look how many of them died because they took their own life. That's not normal. Something is in them, something caused an abnormality, and it's happening at an alarming rate among a certain population. Something's not right. Well, it's because the devil's plan is to destroy you. And any time a preacher will get up and preach and say, you know, rock music is wrong, you'll say, well, you don't even call it rock music anymore. I'd really be dating myself if I said rock and roll music is sinful, right? And you'd be like, they don't even call that anymore. Well, it's still the title. You just, you know, we don't call it that maybe so much anymore. I don't even know all the genres now. But listen, what happens is the influence begins to hook itself into your heart. The addiction happens. And eventually, destruction comes. I'll be giving you more details tonight, but I didn't want to do it this morning. There's a destruction of spiritual purpose. There's a destruction of significance. You don't feel like you'll ever be able to serve God again. You don't feel like you'll ever be able to be the kind of son or daughter that your parents want. You don't feel like the people at church will ever accept you. You don't feel like you'll ever be able to marry someone decent. And these feelings start to come. Who is it? What is it that's controlling these feelings? Well, these are your thoughts, your will, and your emotions. And that is what is being manipulated and altered, and that is what is being destroyed because of the influence of these satanic, if I can say it this way, spirits. That's what James says. There's a destruction of spiritual purpose. There's a destruction of significance. There's a destruction of relationship with parents. I found a place where a young man was asking. His name was Charles. And he put this question up to be answered in a forum. And he said, my parents don't allow me to listen to the music that I like. I like punk rock. I'm 16, and I do not think that they have a right to control me like this. A lot of answers came up. One of them was this. Well, just listen to the music when they aren't around. It's not worth the argument, probably. And here's the part I want you to hear. 2 years, and you're out. How much time do you spend with your parents anyway? The relationship between a parent and a child ought to be one of the closest relationships in this world. But music, in this as an example, comes in and it begins to become an addiction, and it will begin to change a person's heart and begin to grow seeds of rebellion in that person's heart. So now, that relationship of a parent to a child that's supposed to be so close is on the verge of being destroyed. There's a destruction of relationships with family. I want you to consider this very, very carefully. And this is a hard message to preach. I know it's a hard message to listen to, but I want you to consider this. Our churches are filled with adult men who are losing their marriages because they'd rather play video games than be married. I don't know if it's a rather, it may be an addiction, it may be that something else is controlling them. I don't understand that. I want to say grow up and be a man and take the responsibility and put away childish things, but I want you to realize it's true. You say, well, it's just a game. Well, I want you to consider, well, there's a lot to, I don't have enough time to consider all the considerations here. There's a point when there's certain responsibility that needs to be taken. Just grow up and take your responsibility. Second, the voices that we're allowing into our hearts through these video games are destructive. Not every video game is destructive, but so many of them are. Did a little research yesterday. I believe this was a video game that was advertised really big on during the Super Bowl. It's called Neverwinter. I don't know much about it, but it's a role-playing video game that is very, very popular now. I mean, it's popular enough to buy a a $5 million Super Bowl slot. Neverwinter. This type of a game. Oh, Neverwinter was made by Dungeons & Dragons. You thought that was done in the 80s, didn't you? 40 years and strong, just changing their names. Our men, young men and old men, have become addicted to this, where that is replacing family. It's replacing our desire to be a dad. It's replacing our desire to be a husband. It's replacing our desire to serve God. And what we're seeing is the death of a spiritual purpose and a death of relationship with our family. And then we've got men who've been married for years. Our churches are filled with men who've been married for years with good families that are losing everything because they can't stop watching the porn on their computer. The claws of the enemy are grabbing the hearts of our men. And while we want to say it's not a problem, it is such a problem. They'll say, and we'll say, it's not an addiction, and it's just something everybody does now. It's not, and it's sin. But it gives the devil influence in our hearts, and eventually it will destroy you. First of all, it's not going to destroy you physically at first, maybe, but it will destroy your relationships. It will destroy your marriage, destroy your relationship with your friends, destroy your relationship with your family. You may not even know why, as a husband and wife, I'm changing directions here, but you may not even know why you don't love each other anymore. Well, this happens all the time. A husband and a wife will say, We just don't love each other anymore. Well, what happened? And you say, well, I don't know. That's what happens at that step of alteration. There's a change that begins happening in your heart, and you say, I don't know. Well, I want you to consider it's probably because you're allowing destructive influences into your heart. And if I start going through some of the destructive influences, you're gonna say, oh no, it's not that. It's not my music, and it's not my friends that I'm hanging out with, and it's not the stuff I'm reading or looking at on the internet. It's not the romance novels or whatever it is. You can make the list, and I'll preach about it, and you'll say, hey, it's not that. But I don't know why we don't love each other anymore. The symptoms are there, and I'm telling you what the problem is. But so many times we'll say, it doesn't make sense. I don't see the connection between these influences in my life and the destruction. So because I don't see the connection, I don't believe that it's there. Just because you don't see the spiritual battle doesn't mean there's not a spiritual battle. Lots of times these things don't seem destructive, so we listen to them. But they really are. If you're losing important relationships in your life, you need to look at what influences you're allowing into your heart. If you're losing a relationship with your kids, you need to look, what influences are they allowing into their heart? The first question is going to be, well, what music are they listening to? Because that's the number one way that these spirits of Antichrist are putting their message into our hearts. And it leads to destruction. I chose not to give you story after story after story after story this morning of people whose lives were destroyed, physically destroyed. I mean, the kids are dead now because of these influences. I chose against that this morning because I don't want that to be what's on your mind this morning. But I just want you to realize that's where it leads. We'll preach more about that as we go forward. Destruction of relationship with godly mentors and spiritual friends happens. You used to have a good relationship with your pastor or your youth pastor or your parents or your coach or your Christian friends, but something changed. You don't know why, but you don't like being around them anymore. You sit with the unspiritual kids at the Christian school, and you sit in the back of the Sunday school and church, and you talk bad about the people who have invested so much into you. You'll talk bad about your parents and to your friends, and bad about the youth pastor, bad about the coach, and you talk bad about these good influences in your life. Something changed. Something's wrong. There's a destruction going on in your heart. That's the spiritual destruction. And after spiritual destruction comes physical destruction. You got to understand this. The devil wants to destroy you. He does. That's his goal. He wants you to burn in the fires of hell. I hope you understand this. Not because he wants the company, but because he hates God, and the greatest way to fight against God is to hurt you, God's creation. So he'll destroy you spiritually, and he'll do it by starting just the temptations, just the little addictions. And he'll start that way, but eventually it leads to a spiritual destruction, destruction of purpose, destruction of relationships, destruction of significance, and then he's not done because he does want to destroy your life. The spirits of Antichrist won't be pleased until you're completely destroyed. Let me tell you how vicious he is. When Jesus was born, King Herod heard about it, and he sent his soldiers down to Bethlehem to destroy the Savior. Led by the influences of Satan, he sent the soldiers down. They killed every baby 2 years old and under in the entire city. That's how ruthless the devil is, and he wants to destroy you just as much. You've got to understand the enemy. You've got to understand how real this is. That's awful. And he wants to destroy you just that much. Heart-level destruction destroys emotions and desires and thoughts. So here's how it happens. The devil might choose to use emotions of depression and loneliness to drive you to despair and ultimately thoughts of suicide. Where does that come from? It's not natural. It's not something that you can say it's just a phase. There's something inside a person's heart that is pulling them towards destruction if they are thinking these thoughts. It's because the devil's working to destroy their emotion. The devil might choose to use desires to drive you to immorality or bad decisions, which is going to lead to more immorality and more bad decisions, and eventually destroy your life through diseases, through the violence that comes in that lifestyle. He's going to destroy your emotions. He wants to destroy your desires. The devil might choose destructive thoughts. Emotions, desires, and thoughts. The devil might use destructive thoughts that turn into destructive action. Why would some people do some of the things that we hear about them doing? It's not just a mental disorder. You may agree or disagree with me on this, but with so many voices in our world and influencing so many people and knowing that the devil wants to destroy us, you realize what's going on. It's a spiritual battle. Think about some of the examples around us. What motivates a man to shoot and kill his own mom? Walk into an elementary school, kill 26 and 7-year-olds and 6 staff members, and then kill himself. What causes a person to do that? Something evil's in control. The final step in the devil's plan to destroy your life is annihilation. He doesn't just want to destroy you. He wants to destroy as many people as possible. That's why he'll help you to get away with it for as long as you can without feeling the destructive effects. The more people that get destroyed when you get caught, the better. He wants to destroy you. He's going to use any bait he can. He's going to use any method he can, but the end game is your destruction. Domestic abuse destroys relationships and lives. It's an amazing thing. We see it all the time. This was several years ago, but there was an adult man in Albuquerque. He stayed up late playing video games. He was drinking. He's playing a violent video game. He's drinking at the same time. Something took over. He snapped and he attacked the only other two people in his apartment. It was his girlfriend and his daughter. He thought he was really playing the video game. Something was going on in his heart. Something else was in control. The immoral relationships between men and women that destroy families and churches are great evidence of this. The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to ruin your life. Not just in a way where you sit down and you say, oh man, my life is ruined. I mean, really ruin your life. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to take your life. The spirits of this world are capable of putting thoughts into your heart that will lead to destructive actions. And I don't have time to develop these, but I want you to think of the maniac of Gadara. Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, found this guy. He's living in the tombs. He's possessed of devils. And he is hurting himself. He's cutting himself. Oh yeah, how about that? What would cause a young person to cut themselves? It's an influence beyond just them. Because the devil wants to destroy you. How about Judas Iscariot? He goes and he makes this deal. They're going to pay him 30 pieces of silver. All he has to do is just betray Jesus to the Pharisees and to the high priest. Afterwards, he says, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed, and went and hanged himself. One of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. What happened? What changed? Well, the Bible said just a little bit earlier that Satan entered into him. There's an influence that if you allow it into your heart, it will change you and it will destroy you. It won't make life better. It will destroy you. There was a demon-possessed boy in the New Testament. And the Bible says that when he was next to water or next to fire, something in him would push him and push him into the fire. Where he would involuntarily find himself falling into the water and falling into the fire. Jesus came and cast that spirit out. There's a man named Ananias. This is after Jesus had died and rose again. He'd gone up to heaven. Ananias came into the church and he lied. He said that my wife and I, we sold some land and here's all the money from the land and we're putting it in the offering. Well, that's a good thing. Putting something in the offering, you would think. The problem is he lied about how much he put in the offering. They sold the land for a lot and gave some in the offering, and they wanted to have the reputation of, you know, giving in the offering, but at the same time they wanted to keep some for themselves. The point of this lesson is what Peter says to him. He says, Ananias, I want to read that to you just because I want you to get it. Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Satan filled his heart. Listen, Christian, we're done this morning, but listen. The devil's plan is to destroy you. He will use whatever method he can. In Ananias' case, he used an offering, but he lied to God about it. Who was it that put that lie into his heart? It was Satan. Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Our churches are being destroyed. Our families are being destroyed. Our marriages are being destroyed. Our lives are being destroyed. Our purpose for God is being destroyed. And it is because of the influences we're allowing into our heart. Music is a huge one. Video games is a big one. The movies that we watch, the entertainment that we allow into our lives. Listen, all of us should be convicted at some point about what influences we are allowing into our heart. When you realize the devil's plan is to destroy you, the devil's plan is to destroy your family, it will help you to make some decisions on what influences you're going to continue to allow into your heart. Father, thank you for letting us take some time this morning. This message is not an easy message to listen to. I understand that. We don't like thinking of the bad parts of this life. We don't like thinking about destruction. We would rather just not think about the movie stars and rock stars that have died violent deaths or died at their own hands. We'd just rather just ignore that. We'd rather just ignore the young people that we've lost in the last decade or so and think, well, they're just, you know, made some bad decisions, but let's try better next time. Lord, we would rather not think about that. But Lord, I believe that unless we change the influences that we're allowing into our hearts, we're going to continue to see that destruction over and over and over. Lord, I pray that you'd put in our hearts, you'd give us a desire to do right. You'd give us a desire. And you'd help us. You'd give us the character to make some decisions that we're not going to allow the wicked influences of this world to take root into our heart and eventually destroy us. Lord, I believe there's some people this morning that have some decisions they need to make. Lord, I believe some of us this morning need to make a decision that we're not going to continue listening to the world's music because it's so destructive. Lord, I think some of us this morning need to make decisions that we're not going to allow the evil influences of friends, or TV, or movies in many cases. Lord, and I would ask that you would put in our heart what it is that we need to make the decision not to allow into our life. And Lord, as Christians, as people who have trusted you as their Savior, I pray that you would help us to clean the house of our heart. Help us to get rid of those destructive influences. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd create in us a clean heart. I pray that you would recreate in us a desire to serve you and love you, a desire to obey you.